Good evening. Tonight on Global Crossfire, dueling naval incidents in Black Sea waters threaten to ignite a dangerous new escalation. I'm joined tonight by Dr. Sarah Mitchell, former State Department advisor, joining us from Washington, D.C., Professor Hans Weber, senior fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations from Brussels, Dr. Li Wei, senior fellow at the Shanghai Institute of International Studies from Shanghai, and Dr. Amara Okonkwo, development policy expert from Nairobi. Welcome to all of you. Dr. Mitchell, let me start with you. We have competing claims about what happened in these Black Sea waters. Russia says Ukrainian forces attacked their vessels. Ukraine says the opposite. How do we cut through the fog here?
Well, we need to look at the pattern here. Russia has systematically violated Ukrainian territorial waters since February 2022, blockaded grain shipments, and weaponized food security. These latest incidents fit Moscow's playbook perfectly: provoke, then claim victimhood. Ukraine has every right under international law to defend its territorial waters. The Pentagon's assessment suggests Russian forces were operating in clearly Ukrainian waters when this incident occurred. We shouldn't fall for Moscow's false equivalence narrative.
Dr. Li, she's essentially calling this Russian provocation and false victimhood. Your response to that characterization?
That's exactly the double standard we've come to expect. When Ukrainian forces attack Russian vessels, it's self-defense. When Russia responds to protect its maritime interests, it's aggression. The Black Sea situation is complex. These waters have been disputed since the conflict began. Russia has legitimate security concerns about NATO weapons flowing through these shipping lanes. Washington always frames Russian defensive actions as provocative while ignoring Ukraine's escalatory behavior. Where was this concern for maritime law when NATO ships operated freely in Russian territorial waters?
But Dr. Lay, help me understand this. Are you seriously arguing that Russia has territorial claims to Ukrainian waters? These aren't disputed territories we're talking about.
The reality is that during active military operations, maritime boundaries become fluid. Russia is conducting legitimate security operations in waters where hostile military activity threatens Russian forces and civilians. International law recognizes the right of self-defense.
Professor Weber, how does Brussels see this? Are we looking at clear-cut aggression here, or is this more complicated?
The European perspective is deeply concerned about escalation, regardless of who initiated these specific incidents. The Black Sea is critical for European energy security and grain imports that feed millions globally. We need immediate de-escalation and international maritime observers. Both sides have incentives to escalate for domestic political reasons, but Europe bears the economic cost. We should focus on establishing maritime corridors and getting back to the grain deal rather than relitigating territorial claims through naval confrontations.
Dr. Okonkwo, what does this look like from Nairobi? How are these naval incidents affecting the global south?
Frankly, we're tired of being collateral damage in this geopolitical chess game. When ships can't move grain, African children starve. We don't care about your maritime sovereignty disputes. We care about food reaching our ports. Both Russia and Ukraine have used our hunger as leverage. These naval incidents will drive up shipping insurance, spike food prices, and African families will pay the price. Stop fighting over who owns the water and start caring about the people who depend on what flows through it.
Dr. Mitchell, she's basically saying your maritime law arguments are irrelevant when people are starving. How do you respond to Dr. Okonkwo's point?
I absolutely sympathize with Dr. Okonkwo's concerns, but here's the reality: Russia weaponized food first. They withdrew from the grain deal, they're the ones blockading ports.
And Ukraine has attacked Russian grain ships too. You both use our food security as a weapon. We need solutions, not blame games.
But if we don't defend international maritime law, Dr. Okonkwo, what prevents any country from seizing shipping lanes whenever convenient? Rules matter for everyone's security.
All right, rapid fire round. One question each. Dr. Mitchell, should NATO warships escort grain shipments?
If that's what it takes to ensure humanitarian shipments reach those who need them, yes. We can't let Moscow hold global food security hostage.
Professor Weber, is the EU prepared for another winter of disrupted grain shipments?
We're building alternative supply chains, but frankly, no, we're not fully prepared. That's exactly why we need immediate diplomatic engagement to prevent further escalation.
Dr. Li, if NATO escorts grain ships, how does China expect Russia to respond?
That would be direct NATO intervention in the conflict zone. Russia would have to respond accordingly to protect its security interests. very dangerous escalation.
Dr. Okonkwo, bottom line, will African ports see Ukrainian grain this winter?
Not at prices we can afford. These naval games guarantee expensive food and empty plates. Both sides are failing Africa.
30 seconds each for closing thoughts, Dr. Mitchell.
Maritime law exists to protect everyone, including the global South. We can't reward aggression with appeasement.
Escalation serves no one's interests. We need immediate dialogue and international maritime monitoring to prevent wider conflict.
Western double standards and NATO provocations created this crisis. Russia will defend its legitimate security interests.
Your sovereignty disputes don't justify starving children. Find solutions that feed people, not your egos.
4 perspectives, 1 dangerous escalation. Thanks to our panelists. Tomorrow, China's influence operations in Latin America as Beijing opens new diplomatic missions across the region. I'm your host. This is Global Crossfire.